great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
Good evening to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. And from now till 10 p.m., you know, from 9 p.m., I'll be with you. We've been having this interesting series on parenting. Pastor Ruja has been joining by phone from Accra. And I believe a lot of things are being shared. We are learning a lot. We are encouraging ourselves. And, you know, this world is just becoming something. There are two news items I'll share this evening regarding teenagers. And, you know, you realize parenting is not something that we should take it lightly, especially in this season we are in, where evil is just on the ascendancy. And I believe that's even why this type of discussions are even more important than ever before. So God bless you for tuning in, and you can invite someone to also listen to this program, and I believe it will be a blessing. Anyway, so this week has been very eventful in the world, U.S. elections, and it's a major thing. It's a big game changer, you know. So that's what I start with. Donald Trump defeats Kamala Harris. And, you know, it's so funny when you look at some of the news reports and the liberal media presenters, host people crying on air, and, you know, they just can't accept it. They just can't. But, you know, it was written on the wall. Clearly, the writing was on the wall. But, you know, you can deceive yourself to the point where you don't see the reality and don't want to accept the reality, and that's what they find themselves in. You know, the spiritual dynamics of the U.S. election, except you don't understand spiritual things or you don't really know what's happening, but there's a lot of spiritual implications, because the world would have been a different place had Trump lost, because that means more wars were going to take place. And his winning really changes a lot of things, because the next news item is even one interesting one. When I saw it, I just couldn't stop laughing. You know, Hamas calls for immediate end to war following Trump election win. You know, so the man has not even taken office yet, and his winning alone has started sending, you know, signals. And that's how the whole thing should be, because they know that he is different. It's not like Joe Biden, who didn't care, doesn't want to act at the right place and at the right time. But this brings a lot of changes to the world scene, because the Ukraine war, for instance, that war is going to end. He said it over and over, and Zelensky knows it, that clearly the war, the money they've been making from the war with the American, businessmen and power players, now it ends, because this war is not something that, Trump will be pumping billions of dollars into just for fighting sake. No. So the world at least has some breather. At least 4 years, things will not be the same compared to if it wasn't so. And see, that's how elections are, you know. All elections are not the same, but this particular one, it was a real change maker, spiritual change maker, because it was more of a do or break do or die type of thing. Either they got it right, or America leads the world into chaotic era. So we thank God for what happened there, and it's left with us to also battle Ghana. We us to, and I understand, you know, there was one news item, a podcast last week I saw in the US, and it's so funny how some witches groups were complaining that the projections they were making this year, this time around on Trump, they were not working. And it's like, you know, this year there was a lot of prayer. I know one church, 30 days non-stop prayer, every evening meeting prayer. So, and much, there was a lot of prayer this time around backing the man up, and it made a difference. So the projections were being done, but things were not working, you know. And it tells you the spiritual implications, because why would witches and satanists and all these people want to stop him from coming? You know, and it's obvious. Look at the way Kamala was, talking about abortion. That was her main, one of her, key topics, this whole campaign. And you see, when it comes to this abortion thing, it's not just about this abortion, but the spiritual aspect of it is blood sacrifice that is, modified, and they call it abortion, but a lot happens behind the scenes. So those who love it like that at that high level, they know the benefits of it spiritually, so that's why they champion it at that high level. So the implications were very strong spiritually. And you know, I heard one pastor say, and I agree with him, he said Ghana's election and US elections have similarities. We have similarities because the spiritual implications for the US one is very strong, Ghana's own very strong as well. But it's unfortunate, but Christians in Ghana, some just don't understand it at all. They are still thinking the normal two-party thing, this party, my party, and all that. No. This year's election is not about party issue. If you're a spiritual person, you should understand that this year's election, it goes beyond the normal party stuff we know about. We should be spiritual, and it's important Christians become Christians and understand deep spiritual things. All right, so the next one, after the Hamas one, now they say they are calling for, and the Houthi rebels too this week, they also sent their message that they are also ending their campaign in the Yemen area, firing missiles into ships and causing a lot of chaos, so at least that's one aspect of it. But then Americans begin stockpiling abortion pills and hormones ahead of reproductive apocalypse under Trump. So when the presidential election results were handed down Wednesday, Rebecca Goppets, the founder of Aid Access, the number one supplier of abortion pills by mail in the U.S., was huddled in a Paris apartment with her team of 8 American physicians and 15 support staff. The group, which usually operates remotely, shipping out more than 9,000 abortion pills a month, had convened in person before the election, knowing they might have to spring into action. They were right. As news of Trump's victory spread, the website received more than 5,000 requests for abortion pills in less than 12 hours, a surge even higher than the day after Roe and Wade fell. I can see all the new requests ticking in as we are talking, unquote. Gompets said in a phone call on Wednesday afternoon, we've never seen this before. The scenario repeated itself across the country as news of Trump's victory broke, with women's and trans health providers getting inundated with requests for services that their patients feared might be banned in the Trump administration. The telehealth service, WISP, saw a 300% increase in requests for emergency contraception. The abortion pill finder site Plan C saw a 625% increase in traffic. No. Clearly, people are trying to plan for the reproductive apocalypse that we anticipate will be happening under a Trump presidency, said Eliza Wells, a co-founder of Plan C. For Gumpets and her team at Aid Access, the moment did not come as a shock. They've been preparing for it since the last Trump administration, when Gumpets, a Dutch physician, expanded the international abortion pill service into the United States. Since then, Aid Access has devised a system in which physicians in states where abortion is legal prescribe and ship abortion pills to patients in states where it is not. The nonprofit eventually expanded to the team of 8 physicians in 4 states, along with a help of help desk that is available 24/7. But the scale of the demand on Wednesday, 5 times more than the usual day, was shocking even to them. You know, you read such news and realize people have intentionally decided that they would continue to sin. I mean, nothing will dissuade them. Nothing. I mean, it's amazing. Okay, so Joe Biden threatens to cut off military aid to Israel 1 week after U.S. election. So the Biden administration has issued an ultimatum to Israel that if the humanitarian situation in Gaza doesn't improve by November 13th, that's next week Wednesday, it will cut military aid. The warning follows a letter by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to their Israeli counterparts on October 13th. The letter stated that if there were no amelioration of the condition of Gazan civilians in 30 days, there would likely be limitations on the delivery of weapons and supplies to Israel. The U.S. issued these warnings despite evidence that over half of the humanitarian aid Israel delivers to Gaza is stolen by Hamas terrorists, and the looting of supplies weakens Gazan civilians and strengthens Hamas. Okay, then we go to the next one. Anti-Semitic attacks on Israeli soccer fans in Amsterdam raised deep concerns. So Israeli soccer fans were beaten and injured in violent clashes in Amsterdam overnight, which Dutch authorities condemned Friday as anti-Semitic. Dutch police said that they had launched a major investigation into multiple incidents following the Europa League soccer game Thursday night between Israel's Maccabi Tel Aviv and Dutch side Ajax. Amsterdam Mayor Femik Halsema said criminals on scooters searched the city in search of Maccabi supporters in hit and run attacks. "This is a terrible moment for our city. I'm very ashamed of the behavior that was shown last night," she said in a Friday news conference. Amsterdam authorities said Friday morning that 5 injured Israeli soccer fans have since been released from hospital and 20 to 30 other people were lightly injured. In total, 63 individuals were arrested and 10 remain in custody, according to police. And interesting, one report had it that the people who were doing attacks were from the Middle East. So it's not surprising at all. Middle Eastern migrants. Okay, to Nigeria, where radical Fulani herdsmen slaughter Christians in Nigeria and clergy kidnapped. Fulani herdsmen killed 6 Christians on Friday and Saturday in Benue State. That's last week, Friday and Saturday. Benue State in Nigeria, after slaughtering 15 Christians in a nearby village 2 days earlier, according to sources. In Ayilomo, a predominantly Christian village in Logo County, Fulani herdsmen attacked at about 6 p.m. on Friday, said area resident Tawas Avandi. The Fulani herdsmen invaded the community and began shooting at Christian residents, killing 6 Christians, Avandi said. The members of the community were farmers. They had returned from their farms when the attackers invaded the community. Paul Adestav, a community herder in Ayilomo, said residents can no longer tend to their farms because of the attacks. "The Fulani herdsmen keep attacking us almost on a daily basis, killing Christians at will and igniting fire in our homes and places of worship," Adestav told Christian Daily International Morning Star News. "Crops we planted on our farms have also been destroyed by the armed herdsmen. Hunger has become an epidemic, killing us and our children since we have nothing to eat. More than 400,000 members of the community have been displaced as a result of incessant attacks," according to Adesavay. That's very unfortunate. And the saddest part of this is the Nigerian government does not care. I mean, that's how bad it is. The previous governments, the same, and this one is even worse. They just don't care. They just don't care. So it's like you have a government that intentionally turns the eye to the head to the other side. When they hear of the attacks on the left, they look to the right. When it's on the right, they look to the left. And this is how it is. Very unfortunate situation. Australia proposes world leading ban. So, quote unquote, world leading ban on social media for children under 16. This is a perfect news that should replicate in every country. The Australian government will legislate for a ban on social media for children under 16, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said on Thursday, in what it calls a world-leading package of measures that could become law late next year. Australia is trialing an age verification system to assist in blocking children from accessing social media platforms as part of a range of measures that include some of the toughest controls imposed by any country to date. Social media is doing harm to our kids, and I'm calling time on it, Albanese told a news conference. Albanese cited the risk of physical and mental health of children from excessive social media use, in particular the risk to girls from harmful depictions of body image and misogynistic content aimed at boys. If you are a 14-year-old kid getting this stuff at a time when you are going through life changes and maturing, it can be really difficult time, and what we are doing is listening and then acting, he said. A number of countries have already vowed to curb social media used by children through legislation, though Australia's policy is one of the most stringent. No jurisdiction so far has tried using age verification methods like biometrics or government identification to enforce social media age cutoff, two of the methods being trialed. Australia's other world's first proposals are the highest age limit set by any country, no exemption for parental consent, and no exemption for pre-existing accounts. Legislation will be introduced into Australian Parliament this year, with the laws coming into effect 12 months after being ratified by lawmakers, Albanese said. The opposition Liberal Party has expressed support for a ban. That is good. There will be no exemptions for children who have parental consent or who already have accounts. The onus will be on social media platforms to demonstrate they are taking reasonable steps to prevent access, Albanese said. The onus won't be on parents or young people. What we are announcing here and what we will legislate will be truly world-leading, Communications Minister Michelle Rowland said. This is very good, very very good, because the way social media is causing havoc in this generation is very sad. You know, I saw one report today, very unfortunate, and the report is very negative in the sense that quite a sizable number of teenagers and early youthful ages are not able to even make friends again. Like, so there are people who have stopped making friends. I mean, physical friends, like real human to human friends, they've stopped. And this is more of post-COVID. They started noticing this post-COVID, but then you see, it goes more beyond the isolation of COVID and all that, because you see the effects and the psychological challenges that this whole online thing, social media, is causing the youth. It's serious, and teenagers. So the impact is really damning, and parents have a role to play to help, really, really. But you know, sometimes the biggest challenge is lack of knowledge. You see, parents themselves are not abreast of what is happening. They don't know the dangers. They have no idea what's even happening online. They just don't even know the social media platforms that children are on. So they are in the dark, and the children are doing anything they want out there. But the next one is a bit interesting. artificial intelligence. The emergence of AI, artificial intelligence, could require the emergence of a new religion. And I hope you can guess who said this. Bill Gates. This man. It's widely believed that AI will transform how humans work and play, but a prominent technologist feels its impact could even be more profound. Microsoft founder Bill Gates believes that the emergence of AI could require the emergence of new religions and philosophies. The potential positive path of AI is so good that it will force us to rethink how we should use our time. You can almost call it a new religion or a new philosophy of how do we stay connected with each other and not be addicted to these things that will make video games look like nothing in terms of the attractiveness of spending time on them, he said in an interview. It's fascinating that issues of disease and not enough food and of climate, if things go well, those will largely become solved problems. So the next generation does not get to say, okay, given that some things that were massively in shortage are now not, how do we take advantage of that? He continued. Do we ban AI being used in certain endeavors so that humans get a chance to compete? You don't want robots playing baseball, probably because they will be too good. So we'll keep them off the field. How broadly would you go with that? We are so used to this shortage world that I hope I get to see how we start to think these deep meaning questions, he added. Gates seemed to be saying that the AI could usher in a radically different world. This world could potentially have no concept of money, shortages, and most diseases will be eliminated. As such, humans could need a different conception of gods and philosophies to lead their lives. It is compelling point. Many conventional religions do treat relationships with God as transactional, with people giving prayers, donations, and sacrifices in return for their wishes being fulfilled. In a world where there's infinite money and no disease, will humans have to come up with a new God to help guide their actions? Interesting time. So, okay, so we go to Russia. This is very worrying. Boy 15 axes his mother to death and chops up her body after she confiscated his tablets so he would do his homework. When I saw this headline, I realized technology is good, but there's something that should be discussed further. A teenage boy axed his mother to death after she confiscated his tablet to make him do his homework, Russian police have said. The 15-year-old boy, who has not been named, repeatedly struck her on the head while she lay in bed at their home near Moscow, according to reports. He then chopped her up before nailing her bedroom door shut and calmly going to his local shop in the village of Krasnaya Trozorska to buy chocolates. The boy is understood to have played Minecraft before reporting himself to the police in nearby Sergei Posad, around 46 miles northeast of Moscow. The dead woman has been named as Alexandra Gabasova, 48, an accountant at a furniture factory. She was becoming concerned her son was playing online games for up to 12 hours a day. Whoa, 12 hours a day, and neglecting his school homework. His mother found out that the 15-year-old had neglected his homework whilst on sick leave from school and made a scene, according to a reported news outlet. She took away all his cords, his phone, and tablet. The teenager was offended, found an axe, and chopped his mother up with it. Wow. Then he went to the police and confessed to killing her. Officers said she had been killed 4 hours before they arrived at the scene. The boy hits his mother his mother randomly and chaotically with the axe, according to Telegram channel 112. After buying chocolate and playing games, he used the search engine to find the nearest police station and reported that he had killed his mother. The 15-year-old boy is being held in custody and has been described by his teachers as quiet and a student that studied normally. So the question is, what happened? Something happened. You know, when some lifestyles go unchecked over a period of time, this is what happens. When he was spending 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, it may seem okay. But because there were no guardrails to check, and the addiction that follows with this, the dopamine that is secreted into the brain, the chemicals of excitement and feeling good. So it go on and on and on. So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours. I mean, you see, so that when addiction gets to that stage, then it's a real issue now that you are handling. And that's why we're talking about the fact that, you see, parents should be able to control things in the early stages, and if possible, don't even allow the thing to start to get to the point of degeneration like this case. And then quickly, another news, this time our own local one here, Kumasi, Ashanti region. 3 teenage girls arrested for murder of 16-year-old JHS graduates. I mean, this one too, I my mind can still not comprehend this one. A 16-year-old girl, Dennis Wusu Ansan, has died after being stabbed to death at Ahensan in the Foyukro municipality of Ashanti region. 3 teenage girls aged between 14 and 16 are in police custody at the Asokwa District Command. The police are not ruling out murder. Now, this one, what is there to rule out? The issue is murder directly. I mean, sometimes this report. So the incident occurred Monday, that 4th November 9th, around 9 p.m., following a misunderstanding between the deceased and one of the girls. They were reportedly escorting a friend home when the arguments escalated, and one of them allegedly pulled out a knife, stabbing Dennis in the rib and causing severe bleeding. A girl carrying a knife. Hey. Oh, wow. He was quickly rushed to KNUST Hospital, but was pronounced dead on arrival. Dennis, also known as Nana Yao, was a student of Ofoyukro MA JHS and was set to begin high school on Thursday, that's 7th, this Thursday. The victim's family is devastated, with his mother and brother expressing their deep grief and shock over their loss. He had gotten admission to Chinebua Kodia SHS, and wow, you know, so the parents are under police detention now, and their parents, so the teenage girls, and then now the parents have been invited to aid in questioning the investigation and all that. This is something, you know, when you read a news like this, or you hear, I was hearing it, I mean, the various networks and all, so, and I read it earlier, but I decided to read it again, and you see, you realize this generation, of course, crime has been happening over the years, various generations, but the way things are going in terms of the numbers, you know, we heard of the rally school SHS boys, also teenagers, one stabbing the other with a scissors, and I think there was another one I heard too, another stabbing case a few weeks ago too, also teenagers. You know, it's a bit worrying because UK is experiencing this stabbing thing. It's one of serious crimes now, where stabbing is a common thing among the teens and all. You see, so when you start hearing certain rearing its head in our society, it should be a worry. And more so when you have girls, a girl carrying a knife, it raises the issue to another level. It shows something is wrong. You know, parenting in this generation, seriously the biggest headache, because if you don't get it right, you are in trouble. Oh yes, if you don't get it right, you are in trouble. Anyway, I'll come back after this short break. This song by Amy Grant.
I think I found a flaw in your manual.
You mean the Bible?
Yes. You know that section that says, "So in everything, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you"?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 12?
Sure. Now, when you say everything, does that mean everything, or are there exceptions?
What is it about the word everything that you don't understand, sir?
Well, I have this really obnoxious brother-in-law, and I would love to just take some chicken feathers and some hot chocolate syrup and...
Sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Surely there's got to be an exception to that rule.
Trust me, sir.
How about a loophole?
There's a very good reason why there's no exception in that section.
I don't think whoever wrote that ever met my brother-in-law.
Regardless, sir, that section is a part of God's standard for how we are to treat others. We can't apply His standard only when it's convenient.
It's easy to think our circumstances are unusual, but are you willing to obey God even when it's tough? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Sorry, you know, and this is what is happening now. People are now raising questions about the word of God and, you know, trying to punch holes where they... Oh, what a generation we live in. Okay, so Pastor Roger will be joining us soon by phone. And we've been treating the issue of parenting in this time, the challenges. And those who have been listening, I believe you've learned something. Those who have missed it too, you can listen to it on spiritissues.info. And those in the Telegram group, you can look for us, Telegram Spirit Issues. And you can also have the previous editions there and listen to them. And, you know, we started with Joseph in Genesis. We looked through his upbringing and his challenges, the temptations, what he went through, and you realize that his upbringing played a role in who he became. And we've gone through Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the word of God, the standard that we should have as parents, the word of God in our homes. And we are Judges chapter 2. We are looking at something interesting there, because the failure of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the things that they should have done in Deuteronomy chapter 6, failure to do that, you see the consequence in Judges chapter 2. And it's very worrying. It's one aspect of the word of God that when I read, it's sad. And because for you to have a generation just after the Joshua generation, and this generation did not know the word of, they didn't know what God did, it's amazing, you know. So let me just read. And so Judges 2:7, where it says that, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So Joshua died, and then of course some died beyond him. So all the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And then we go to verse 10. And also that's all. So, okay, there's 8 says, then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him and all that. And the verse 10 says, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So they those who outlived Joshua were gathered, and there arose another generation. This is where the interesting thing is. Okay, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah, greetings.
Greetings to everyone, and greetings to every listener.
Yeah,
we are back another Saturday.
We thank God for this Saturday. So I believe you are listening online. So let's start off from the two teenagers. The last two news items I talked about, the two teenagers. What's your perspective on it? Then we move on from there.
The online, there was a break in the first teenager. I only heard he went to the police to report.
Oh.
So if you can repeat that portion.
Oh, sorry. You know, that's the Russian boy. He was not doing his homework, so the mother sees his cables and his tablet, like his game consoles and all that, because he was playing games for up to 12 hours a day. And upon seizing the things, the boy took an axe while the mother was lying in bed and chopped off. Chopped the body into pieces, and then locked the door, went to buy chocolates, played games. After that, went to report himself at the police station that I've killed my mother.
I heard that I've killed my mother aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's begin like this. Today, our children are bombarded with advertisements of what greatness means to our culture. Mm-hmm. And that is bringing a serious thing. Their heroes of today are no longer us as parents. Remember when we were kids, when a child is sent to school and they ask him, who is your hero? You say, my father is my hero. My mother is my hero. But today, their heroes are celebrities. Huh. And why are their heroes celebrities? Their heroes are celebrities because they tend to watch the things they tend to watch makes them to see different people. The things they tend to watch makes them to see different people, and because they are seeing different people, and because parents do not have time, now we are no longer their celebrities. We are no longer their heroes. Some celebrity has taken over. So, if the child sits behind the console 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, up to 12 hours, and you take the console from him, it means that you are denying him of meeting his celebrity. Remember last week you talked about the AI. The guy was chatting with the AI.
And committed suicide.
The AI has become the celebrity. He has become a superhero. And that tells us our level of failure as parents.
Yeah.
That tells us, because now it is no longer toughish. Our children are not they are not interested in the toughish again. Yes, formerly, you sit down with your parents, you chat, and the rest. And this thing now brings in, formerly, I think yesterday I was discussing with someone, and we were looking at, formerly, after on Sunday, by 3 o'clock, the family has eaten dinner, and then we sit down together. That was when we play Ludo together. Mm-hmm. We play Owari and the rest. And then we will start chatting from 3, 4, 5, 6. And it is like, what did you study at church today? What was it? Oh, no. It was not like this. This one says it was not like this. So we were getting deep relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Today, for some of the churches, we go and we don't come back early. Due to economic strains and situations, parents have been going to work Monday to Friday and they are already tired. So they add all 30 days for some. So when they add all these things together, what happens? No. So the children tend not to see their parents as their superheroes now. Because formerly when you go to school, When I was recounting the ladies who stabbed the guy, mm-hmm. when you go to school and anyone does something to you, say, I'm going to report to my father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to report to my mother.
Yeah.
Because your father was your hero, your mother was your hero. So everything you are coming to report to your mother or father. But if today you report to a knife that you are holding, even holding a knife, that tells you that we have lost it.
Serious.
That tells us we have lost it. Then, the second thing I want us to consider as we look at this is the standard or the level, the fall of Christianity, the standard that has fallen.
Seriously.
So we will come and we will say, oh, these children, they are coming from Christian homes. They are coming from Christian homes. They are coming from Christian homes. I want to read a scripture to your notice.
Uh-huh.
Joshua chapter 8, 34 and 35.
Yeah.
Joshua chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Let me open Joshua chapter 8, 34 and 35.
Yeah. Should I read
it? Yes.
Ah, okay, read it.
Oh, okay, please do read. You read from your end.
Okay. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them.
So number one, he read all the words.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Christian room, do you read all the words? Say all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses. So this evening, when I was listening to the news of the girls, I was asking myself, if they were from Christian homes, did they know the Ten Commandments?
Exactly my thoughts this afternoon.
Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
But they read all the words of the law. All. Today, even the Christian home, we choose and pick. And therefore, it looks like some portions of the Bible are bigger than others or are better than others. So let's talk only about the blessings. But I said he read all the words of the law.
Mm-hmm.
The blessings and curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. So he didn't leave one out.
Yeah.
Some of the children's storybooks, Christian storybooks that we have,
mm-hmm.
about Noah and the ark and the rest, you will see it has been watered down.
Mm-hmm.
It has been watered down. So now the child reads it and it is like it's comic. There was nothing serious to bring the fear of the Lord into the child.
Yeah, the lessons learned are not anything serious there.
Yes. The words of the Lord. It's not being read. And when it is being read, not all. It is, there was not a word of all Moses' commandments which Joshua read not before all the congregation. Now he begins with the women, with the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been looking at a generation who did not know God.
And
they could even,
just to cut you, when I saw this and the little ones, these little ones should be that generation that grew up in Judges chapter 2.
Yes.
So what happened?
So I was bringing this in,
mm-hmm.
that if the generation is even introduced to God, but not introduced to God correctly, you will end up not knowing God.
Yeah, that's exactly the case.
You will end up not knowing God. So when you ask, oh, Miko, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, dear Miko. Miko, sorry.
No, so.
Yes. Look at this scripture, Esther chapter 3, verse 4. Yes. Between Mordecai and Haman.
Yeah.
When Mordecai did not bow, he said daily they asked him why he was disrespecting. What was Mordecai's answer? His answer was just a statement. I am a Jew. That's all.
Yeah.
That was his answer. I am a Jew. Today, can you say I'm a Christian? Because we'll go in and we'll tell ourselves that all these girls we're going to catch. He said, I am a Jew. So the Jew had a standard. Does the Christian have a standard? So even as we look at Christian parenting, we ask ourselves, is the parenting up to standard?
Serious.
This evening, we were eating, and I told my children about the the stabbing.
Yeah.
And I said, for the wages of sin is death. Then one of them said, ah, so you mean the wages, the boy has sinned so much, so he's supposed to die. Then I said, you are mad. Then another one said, ah, but daddy, you are a pastor. You shouldn't say you are mad. Then I said, if you are mad, I have to tell you are mad. Do I have the willing skill for it? I am just telling you the wages of sin is death. So that you will know. If you know the wages of sin is death, even in the Bible, we say wages of sin is death. So when you kill somebody, get ready. You're on your way.
Tell you, daddy,
and we were laughing about it. We were laughing about it. I told them, it is time everybody gets to know the truth. So that the aspect of you even holding a jackknife or a knife will tell you that I don't want to be tempted to kill.
Yeah.
Because that shall not kill. So why should I hold it? Mm-hmm. Because when I get angry beyond a point, I may react foolishly. I may react foolishly. So why should I even hold a knife?
Yeah.
If the children begin to tell me it is self-defense, then I ask you, between 14 to 16 years, do you need self-defense for what? Your self-defense is the time you go out.
9 p.m.
That is self-defense.
9 p.m. No cry raise issues. I mean,
if you are talking about self-defense, it's the time you go out.
Mm-hmm.
For you now to hold a knife. Because if you don't go out at night, why would you be holding a knife?
Yeah.
If you're a day person walking out at day, why would you be holding a knife? For what defense? Defense from the sun or from what? So there are certain things we are doing that will come back to bite us.
Serious.
And it is time we sit down as parents and look at it and see that at the end of the day, it will bring headache to all of us. So if today we are to rise up, let us rise up well as parents. Let us do our best as parents. Let them know that the greatness of a child's life is not the one that the culture or the society is talking about,
mm-hmm.
but your greatness is the fear of God. Where nobody is there, and you are not afraid to be different in the society.
That is the issue. The peer pressure, the system, the standards that the system has set is serious. Really serious.
Huh.
You know, we find ourselves in a generation, you know, technology. You know, I see these things from a different angle in terms of, yes, it's a good thing. It's just like a two-edged sword, depending on how you swing it. So one side is a good thing. Technology is a good thing. On the other side, it's a bad thing. Now, how to manage it? That is the most difficult challenge now, because even adults are struggling to manage it. This is where the whole issue is. Adults are even struggling to manage the use of technology. And you see, I was very glad when I saw the Australian news about they passing a bill to ban, under 16 usage of social media and all that. You see, because you see, we last week I saw Finland, Norway discussing the issue of, you know, bringing back books into classroom, because the computer in the classroom, it's just not helping. You see, so it's something which is time we really rethink our use of technology as parents in our homes and in our schools and all that. Because you see, as for governments, they will just do things that are expedient for their political gain and all that. They don't care about the social impact and the psycho aspect of it and all. But it's the duty of the parents to now assess the issue. Is it like one news item I shared, I think either this year, early this year or last year or something, where a town in, I think, Scotland, where four schools in the town, all the parents agreed that they are all banning their children from using phones, until they get to a particular age. So it was an agreed, four PTAs in the four schools have all agreed. So the whole town, the community, no child should use phones until a certain age. You see, and you see, so these are parents who have been realistic to the dangers that their children are being exposed to. You see, and it's time the church brings this discussion to the fore. Because you see, fine, unbelievers will argue, they will not, but even Christians will argue and all that. But the church also has a role to play. Like we are doing this discussion, it's time churches, pastors bring this discussion to the fore. Because you see, at least let's save our Christian children. At least let's save our Christian children. Because if the rest of the children are getting spoiled by the system and everything, is in place, it should not be the children who are in the church. And this responsibility lies solely on the laps of the parents. And then secondly, the church can help, pastors can help, Sunday school teachers can help, but the primary responsibility is the parents. And this is where this program, this discussion series and all that comes in, to help parents to at least draw their attention to some of these things that, hey, let's be careful. This is happening. This is what the word of God expects us to do as parents. Wow, so soon. So Roger, I think today it's good we've brought these discussions in the mix of these topics. But your closing statement before the time is just too fast.
So all that we would like to say this evening is that God created our children and place in them something that always creates for some to look to someone for help or for guidance. And that craving is for the parent.
Yeah.
If the parent is absent, someone said, if the sheep is not giving pasture or grass to chew, you look for somebody's food to eat from, because come what may, he must eat.
Mm-hmm.
So if that craving that God feels in our children, if we cannot be there for them and we think we are replacing it with things, when we were young, at least our parents associated it with storybooks or gave us those storybooks, so you have to read some storybooks to better your English and the rest.
Lady Bird.
But here, we have left them Famous Five and the rest.
Mm.
And now we have left them
tablets,
thinking we have to hit 21st, 22nd generation, 21st, 22nd century.
Mm-hmm.
Then let us get ready. They will also be bringing us 21st and 22nd.
Crimes,
celebrity, and things.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we've not heard from, because those are the things we'll be looking at.
Yeah.
And the more they want something, they get attracted to that thing.
Oh yeah.
And the moment that thing takes off within them, it is more than they taking cocaine or weed.
Oh yeah. Because the effect is the same. The dopamine effect is the same as taking drugs. The feeling of usage of technology, that same feeling is chemically how you feel when you take drugs, the same as how you feel when you're on social media, how you play games and all video games, the same effect, the dopamine that comes from the comes into the brain, the chemicals. So that's where the danger lies.
this whole discussion, this thing.
So, a last word. Our children want so badly to be like others they see in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Will you be the one in the spotlight? Thank you.
A word to the wise. Okay, so thank you, Pastor Roger, for joining us this evening. Or too soon. Time flies so fast when you have a lot to talk about. So thank you for tuning in. God willing, next week you'll be continuing. But those who missed or you want to listen to it again, it's been recorded to be played on you can listen to it on download or listen spiritissues.info, or you can get it in the Telegram group as well. So thank you. I'm Eben. God bless you and good night.